It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
It's the most exciting sport on earth as far as I'm concerned.
Take a walk through the Nitro pits as we go one-on-one with the stars of drag racing.
Hi, I'm Courtney Forrest.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
This is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
Featuring the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt.
Our events are truly an experience. They're not just a spectator event. They are an experience.
So get in, sit down, and hold on with host Joe Costello as he goes WFO.
Thanks, brother. Always love being on WFO, baby. Nobody brings it to you better than you, brother.
Now crank it up. It's time to go WFO. Here's your host, Joe Costello.
Welcome back, NHRA fans. I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. We have got a great winner's edition for you, the O'Reilly Spring Nationals at Royal Purple Raceway. A fantastic event. One of the best. Just absolutely awesome. And you're going to hear the winners. Erica Enders Stevens, Pro Stock winner, won back-to-back races, won Vegas, now won Houston, her hometown. An eruption of energy in the final round after an 11-minute engine change. Just so much to talk about with Erica. She's going to be on this show just minutes from now. Also on the show, Doug Coletta, audio from the winner's circle. We're going to speak with Doug about his just spectacular victory over Tony Schumacher in the final round. There was a huge streak going there that was broken by the Coletta Motorsports team. We're going to hear from Doug in the winner's circle. We're also going to hear from Jim Oberhofer. Jim O is going to take a little time. Spoke with him right after the photographs in the winner's circle. And folks, no lie, I think it's one of the best interviews I've ever heard, certainly that I've ever done on WFO Radio. He just lays it out on the line. He's like basking in the glory of the victory and just puts it out there. It's going to be something you are definitely going to want to hear. That is coming up in just a little bit right here on WFO Radio. Also on the show, co-crew chief for the Napa Auto Parts Dodge Charger for Don Schumacher Racing, driven by Ron Capps, Eric Lane. Going to talk about his team and how they conquered the tough side of the ladder. They beat Hagen, they beat Height, they beat Jack Beckman en route to their second victory of the season. Eric Lane going to tell us all about it. Now you're wondering, Ron Capps, what about Ron Capps? Ron Capps is going to answer questions from WFO Radio listeners next week. So you need to call them in, 954-889-6796. It works just like a voicemail. Beep. Hey, this is Mike. My question for Ron is this. Here's the question. Thanks a lot, WFO. And we're going to play him for Ron next week on the show. It is going to be the backbone of next week's show, following this guy, the voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhardt. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be back. What an event this past weekend, huh?
It wasn't just me, right? It wasn't just because I hadn't been out to Vegas and it had been a little while, and I got out there and I felt like all this energy and passion and the fans were going nuts and everyone was showing up even though the clouds were in the sky. It was awesome, was it not?
It was a heck of an event. You know, I hate that we missed the 6 hours Saturday morning and had to jam it all in a little bit later on, but Sunday, if I talked to a couple of guys. You and I have had this conversation before. If Sunday was the first time you ever came out and experienced the NHRA, if you didn't think that was cool, we got nothing for you. Don't come back next time. Don't try again. If you didn't think that show was worth watching, then, we appreciate you giving us a chance. But that was just spectacular.
Seek professional help if you didn't think that was awesome. It was just one whole shot victory after the next, side-by-side racing that was just awesome. I, at the moment that we are speaking, have yet to go back and watch the television broadcast, which is hopefully on my DVR. I can't wait. I'm excited about it because, as you know, and the listeners know, there's a whole bunch of different things going on work-wise, and I just kept hearing you say whole shot victory, one after the next after the next.
Well, I think that the official count was 10, which is too shy of the all-time record, and believe it or not, it wasn't set in Phoenix 92. But the situation was four qualifying sessions with very, very similar weather and track conditions. So everybody had a good handle on the racetrack. It wasn't one of those deals where you come in Sunday and, okay, this is different, this is weird, or Friday night was hero time, and, you know, nothing else really counted for qualifying. Everybody had a good handle on the racetrack. When you look at Top Fuel, 378 qualified, I believe, 12th. You know that everybody's comfortable with what they're racing on. And then, you know, first round, Dave Conley leaves the starting line first, runs 3.80. Get out of the way. Antron crushed him. First round, Sean Langdon, 376.5, 321 miles an hour. Hey, we appreciate you stopping by. Go pack up and get ready for Atlanta. You know, just on and on and on and on and on. J.R. Todd, 375, 326 miles an hour. Hey, that was a nice run. It wasn't good enough, but it was a nice run. See ya. Go to the next race. You know, Richie Crampton, 375, 320 miles an hour. Go pack your junk. We'll see you next week. It was just that kind of day. Just tremendous side-by-side racing. Unless I'm mistaken, and maybe I overlooked something, but I think we had 1 7-minute cleanup all day long. And that, you know, that came in the first round. But it was, you know, oh, my God, did you see that? Fire the next pair. That was the most amazing race I've ever seen. Fire the next pair. How are you going to top that? Fire the next pair. And, I mean, well, we're talking just Top Fuel. When 375, an 054 light and a 375 will not get you in the next round, you're in a shark tank. And it was just, it was fun. You had no idea what was going to happen all day long. Every time two cars came to the start line, it's like, how are they going to top this? And they continued to do so. It was tremendous race, just tremendous.
And maybe the slight threat of rain right at the start of first round maybe accelerated things, but they were running and gunning in that first round. There was virtually no downtime at all. Two more, all great races. And the way it shaked out, I had no idea who was going to end up in the final round. Some big matchups, obviously number one qualifier Spencer Massey ends up going to the semis where Doug Coletta took him down with a little bit of tire smoke, a bit of a pedal fest, and then Doug goes to the final round. Other side of the ladder, number two qualifier, Tony Schumacher with a very tough road. Clay Milliken having what was appearing to be a career day in terms of the car and its consistency, and it seems like they have really gotten on the right track with that program. But Tony beats him in the semis, and then it's Doug versus Tony again. And the numbers were all in favor of Tony, like a shocking streak, and the Coletta Motorsports team was able to break it.
Both cars had some trouble out there in the final round. You know, Tony Schumacher ended up banging the blower before the finish line, and Doug got there first. But, you know, Tony's got a 009 light in the final round in a Top Fuel car from the What Are You Kidding Me file. And, you know, he got in trouble out there, and the bottom line was that Doug finally broke that string. So, you know, who knows? Maybe the Coletta guys will ring off the next 10 in a row. You know, those are just two big powerhouse teams. Even Tony would tell you, he knew it couldn't go on forever. He was going to ride the wave as long as he could. But just to back up a little bit, you know, I mentioned a minute ago, Dave Conley left the starting line first, went 380, and got beat in round one by Antron Brown. In the second round, Antron left the starting line first, ran 380, and got beat by Tony Schumacher. It was just that kind of day. It was a wildly exciting day all the way down to the final round. And with both cars having a little bit of trouble in the final round, but Doug got his to straighten out and run that 382, and Tony had trouble, so game over. And Doug Coletta wins another one, locks himself in the Traxxas shootout now. Six different race winners in the first six races in Top Fuel, and it's been a while since that has happened. And I don't see any reason that streak couldn't continue. You know, we've got some really good cars out there that haven't won yet. When you look at, you know, J.R. Todd, who hasn't won yet, Clay Milliken, you mentioned it a minute ago, he's definitely got a car that is capable of now stepping up and winning. You know, Brittany Forrest hasn't won yet. Larry Dixon hasn't won yet. Dave Conley. I don't think anybody would be surprised if one of those Bob Vandergrift cars wins the next race. Those guys are running that good. And we'll go to Atlanta and see.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's great for the sport. Good things are happening. I'm hoping to see a flurry of positive stories out there as everybody gets fired up for what we're seeing right now. Let's move over to Funny Car, where Ron Capps and his team, able to come out on top, had to battle teammates a couple times throughout the day, also had to go up against Robert Height and John Hale. The Robert Height run, though, 1/1000th of a second, an 076 light to an 077, so a 1/1000th of a second hole shot, and they run identical 408 fours. That is exactly what drag racing fans love to see.
You're right, and, you know, Ron Capps' car was slowing down at the finish line. It put a cylinder out before it got there. Robert Height was 10 miles an hour faster. If we'd have been running 1,001 feet, Robert Height would have won the race. But Ron Capps, right now, looks like he's in a position. You know, you've bracket raced. You've talked to enough guys. Sometimes all those little bitty close races just fall in your lap. Sometimes you can't win one for nothing. But you remember when Ron won Gainesville? Beat Tim Wilkerson by 1/10,000th of a second in another, you know, almost identical combination race, obviously. The close ones now are going Ron's way. The car's running well. And, you know, same thing. You just got to ride the wave while you can ride the wave because you never know how long it's going to last. But Ron Capps, Ron Tobler, those guys are doing a nice job out there right now. But funny car qualifying was the same way. I mean, a 4-0 puts you in the bottom half of the field. You know, Jack Beckman qualified number one for the first time in forever. But amazingly enough, Jack Beckman has never won from the number one qualifying spot. So he got to the final round and was looking at breaking that string, and then, well, Ron Capps did him in to become the second two-time winner in funny car. So at least the funny car guys, if you haven't won yet, you've still got a better shot at sneaking into the tracks of shootout than the top fuel guys do. They're running out of time in a hurry.
Compelling matchups throughout the day also. I should have mentioned Leah Pritchett versus Brittany Force, first round top fuel, second round funny car, Alexis DeJoria versus Courtney, John versus teammate Robert, Jack Beckman versus teammate Tommy Johnson, Ron Capps versus teammate Matt Hagan. Just a lot of compelling, crazy matchups that are awesome. Then in the semis, Beckman versus Courtney, Robert versus Ron. So you've got teammate versus teammate, rivalry versus rivalry. And then in the final round, Jack versus Ron. Ron wins with a 524-4, not how you'd write it up. But in the final, it doesn't matter. It's just about get there.
Well, both of them got out there in the final, got in trouble in the middle, and were kind of smoking their way towards the finish line. You know, Ron had enough momentum to pull the thing off. But when you look at the semifinals, Courtney Force runs 417, 312 miles an hour, and you almost want to go over and ask him, what's wrong with your car? You know, everybody else was in the 4-0s in that round, and it was just like that all day long. Same thing, though. When you give the guys four shots at the same weather conditions, the same track conditions, everybody's going to find their comfort zone, and that just breeds that kind of good, close side-by-side racing.
Just absolutely awesome. In pro stock, Jason Lyne was the number one qualifier and appeared to have the car to beat. Told you on the stage before the race was over that he felt confident that it was up to the driver on this given day. He goes to the second round, and Jonathan Gray is able to put a whole shot victory on him.
Well, you know, Jason's reaction time was 0.85, and he will tell you, like he told me, I bumped into him in the airport, and he said, you know, I just flat screwed up, and there's no reason, no excuse, no pointing fingers, no. He said, I screwed up, and he did have the car to beat. You know, he ran, well, three thou off of low ET in the second round, but he was crushing him in qualifying, definitely had the best car on the property going in. You know, a little mental error, and it's game over. In this day and age in pro stock, you're not going to get away with an 080 anything light. And, you know, it's just one of those deals. You know, everybody at one point, whether you blink, whether you flinch, whether you just, like, missed it. But there's no do-overs, so, you know, you pack up and go home. And when you look at the second round, you know, Greg Anderson's 003. You know, Larry Morgan's 016 on the reaction time, gets beat on a hole shot. I mean, really? You know, Shane Gray's 043, gets beat on a hole shot. Vincent went red against Erica, and then the other one was Jason's 085. But Jason, you know, you just, every once in a while, you just miss it. And, you know, he'll go back and work on it and try not to let that happen again. But it's kind of like being a good golfer. The key to being a really good golfer is to have a short memory. Because if you hit a bad shot, you can't be walking up to the ball going, I can't believe I'm over here in the rough behind the tree. What am I? You got to just erase it from your memory banks and go out there and go, okay, I got to hit a good shot here to get back on the green. And you can't be mad. You can't be upset. You can't carry that with you because it'll just continue to plague you.
Erica Ender Stevens qualified fourth, runs Alan Johnson in the first round. He goes 004. She goes 005. She wins. Second round, Vincent goes red against her, and that is the third now race, K&N Horsepower Challenge, SummitRacing.com Nationals in Vegas, and now here in Houston that Vincent has exited against Erica. Break something in the engine in the pit area getting ready for the next round. Had a very limited amount of time to switch engines. Erica is going to tell us all about it, her perspective, what she saw, what she thought, coming up in the interview with Erica. But in the end, the number they put on it was an 11-minute engine change. Comes out, has a 19 reaction time against Jonathan Gray, runs 6:57.0, wins the race. Alan, you've been doing this a long time. Have you seen things like that? What compares to this? Where does this rank in great performances in the pit area by a team?
Well, it's certainly an impressive performance, and it's happened a number of times over the years. You know, the guys, that work on these cars are so good that you just get into, you know, automatic mode, I guess. You know, you don't have the time to double-check everything like you'd like to normally do, but you've done it so many times, it's almost muscle memory. You know, zip those bolts out, rip that thing out of here, throw it over there on the floor, we'll figure it out later, throw the new one in, bolt it together, let's go, 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 go. You know, you don't have time to double-check, you don't have time to look over everything. You hope that you haven't made a mistake, but on the other hand, you've done it so many times that you feel pretty comfortable with it. It's obviously an impressive performance by the team. I think it's a more impressive performance by Erica. Over the course of the last couple of years, I think that she has proven, forget everything else, behind the wheel, she is one of the real pressure players in the class right now, and nobody can take that away from her. When she goes up there and she's got the better car, she might have a 30 or 40 light, be a little conservative, go down the racetrack and go. When she goes up there and she knows she's got to be on, she can hit those 00 lights or those 011, 012 lights on a pretty consistent basis, and that's the sign of a great race car driver, that when I need to do this, I can do it. And, you know, when it's maybe not necessary or not so compelling, okay, let's just go up and do the job. Let's go up and do the job. But she really has turned out to be, I think, one of the best drivers in pro stock. One of the things that I always do is compare number one qualifiers to winners. You know, if you've got 55 number one qualifying spots and you've won 50 races, okay, well, that basically tells me when you've got the fastest car, you can get it done. It's when you're winning races without the fastest car. That's what always made Jay Coughlin so impressive. He didn't have a whole lot of number one qualifiers, but he had a whole lot of race wins. Got it done on Sunday. Spencer Massey in Top Fuel is the same way. Doesn't have a lot of number one qualifying efforts. Has a lot of race wins. Gets the job done on Sunday. And Erica is really turning into one of the true Sunday pressure players out there in pro stock. And, you know, the numbers speak for themselves.
In the semifinals, Greg Anderson versus Chris McGay. Hey, Greg has a 10, leaves second. Chris advances to the final round. Erica takes down Jonathan after that mad thrash. And now we've got this all-Texas final. And I know, and everyone knows, that the fans in Texas, they love racers from Texas. That's just the way it is. So a couple of Texas racers battling it out. And I was kind of surprised, but I guess I shouldn't have been, just not being familiar with the area, I guess. The crowd was like 90-10 in favor of Erica. When her win light came on, Alan, the roar from the crowd, the shout of just ecstasy that they saw their driver win, it was a little shocking to me because drag racing fan bases are usually pretty segmented. You got a large group of people, you got a whole bunch of drivers. No one driver is going to have that large a percentage of people in the stands, right? Wrong. They were all there to see Erica win, and in the winner's circle, and I'm going to talk to her about this, fans just kept coming over saying, this is Erica country, we love her, we know her, she's ours, and they were absolutely thrilled to watch that win light come on.
Well, she grew up there. I mean, bottom line, she raced junior dragsters there. So many friends, so much family, so many people that she's touched over the years. And, you know, you watch the movie Right on Track, a lot of that was shot at Houston. You know, she's not the adopted girl that, you know, hey, we took her in. She's the girl that grew up there and really is a Houston, Texas girl. And you know, they're embracing one of their own. That's definitely the Erica part of the world down there, no question about it. You know, the reason that she is even in pro stock right now, or at least one of the reasons, is because she won Super Gas at that racetrack a number of years ago. She won Super Gas shortly after the Disney movie came out, and the press people wanted to talk to. We want to see this girl who Disney made a movie about, who just won in Super Gas. When's the last time you heard a Super Gas winner went to the press room? So they went down and got Erica, brought her up into the press room, and when she was talking about, you know, the road she's taken and her path and how she got here, and she mentioned the fact that, you know, she really wanted to go on and was looking at going to Frank Hawley's school and would love to maybe drive in pro stock one day. Well, Victor Cagnazzi's pro stock car had won that day, and he was in the press room and went, really? And so that was her first opportunity to get in a pro stock car. So kind of coming full circle for her to come back and win back-to-back races at her home track.
Just awesome. In Pro Modified, Donnie Walsh wins. Randy Meyer and Top Alcohol Dragster, they were on rails all day. Doug Gordon takes down the Swedish contingent. Yanni Lindberg and Ulf Leanders en route to victory. Rampy with another one. I believe that's 89 for him.
Yep.
Jimmy Hidalgo Jr. wins in super stock. David Latino in stock. Jeff Lopez and Robbie Lopez. How cool is that? The brothers double in super comp and super gas.
You know, Kevin McKenna and I were texting back and forth about that yesterday, talking about doubles that have won, brothers that have won the same race on the same day. The Richardson brothers have done it. The Coughlin brothers have done it. The Biondo brothers have done it. The Lang brothers have done it. Oh, there's one more. I'm going to be kicking myself. I can't remember that. And now the Lopez brothers have done it. But it's not a very long list. And, you know, and again, those are also local Houston area racers that got it done. So, you know, that winning a race is a beautiful thing. Winning a race when all your friends and family are there to see it is even more special. Oh, the Emmons brothers. Duh. How could I forget that? I tell you, though, you really got a feel for Brett Candies, and I'm certainly not taking anything whatsoever away from Dave Latino. Congratulations to him for winning. But Brett Candies, at his home racetrack, he's from Louisiana, but Houston's his home racetrack, back-to-back years he makes it to the final round. Last year he comes up short. This year, does the burnout in the car quit and couldn't even stage up, and that's heartbreak. You know, you go up there, you do your job, and the other guy does a better job. Hey, shake his hand. Congratulations. We'll get you next week. But whatever the mechanical issue was, after they pushed his car off the starting line, then it started up so he could drive it back to the pits. And you talk about heartbreaking. I mean, after a long weekend and being that close, to have the race end that way is just, that's a shame.
Yes, absolutely. Heartbreaking. And, of course, it starts right up. It's just that is the aggravating side of racing. Bob Galitti, cancer survivor, winning top sportsman. J.R. Baxter winning in top dragster. And just a tremendous event. Live TV, I can't wait to watch it at some point. And I have heard nothing but very positive feedback from everybody. The fans were stoked. Everyone was stoked. This is one that should be a model for future events.
I sure hope so. I mean, it was, like I say, it was a tremendous event. Just, you know, one last note. You touched on Doug Gordon taking out the Swedish contingent. If you race Jani Lindberg and Ulf Leanders on the same day and beat both of them, you should get two trophies. I mean, you really should. The way those guys have been running and the way that they've just been running roughshod. But, you know, the Gordon family, long way from home, obviously, from California all the way to Houston. But it's going to make the drive back home a whole lot happier, taking home that trophy and knowing how you earned it. Not just that you earned it, but how you earned it. That makes it even more special.
Absolutely. Alan, great job as usual. Next week we've got Ron Capps is going to answer questions from WFO radio listeners. We spoke with Ron, had some stuff this week. Was like, hey, let's do it next week, but we'll solicit some questions for them. So that's going to absolve you of answering questions. How about that?
That's perfect. I love that more than anything. And if anybody's going to be out and about near Ashcroft this weekend, on Saturday, I will be at the Eagleplex up in Ashcroft, British Columbia, doing a spotlight visit for ESPN2. Stop on by and say hi. I've heard a lot of good things about the racetrack, and I'm looking forward to seeing it in person.
You and Michael Widespread Panic?
There you go.
That is awesome. Very, very cool. Alan, great job as usual. Yeah, this is one that I will remember forever. It was just awesome. Under threatening skies, but we got it in, and the fans were just so cool. The Texas drag racing fans are some of the best. They were awesome, and I was really glad we were able to get it in. So thank you so much.
Right on. Well, you travel safely and enjoy a couple of weeks without having to get on the road, I assume. Oh, actually, you are on the road this weekend, aren't you?
Yes.
And I'll see you in Atlanta.
I'm headed to Tucson. You know anybody there?
No, not a soul.
Very interesting stuff. I'll be talking about it later on, but I'm looking forward to seeing your city, your side of the world. It should be very cool. Alan, great job as usual, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Joe. Take care.
Thanks, Alan. The voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhart, with us here on WFO Radio. And if you're listening on iHeartRadio, the Race Day Nation channel, if you're listening on Stitcher or TuneIn, if you downloaded the WFO Radio mobile app, it is awesome. We appreciate you listening. If you're an iTunes person, we appreciate you listening. The best way for our show to get better and bigger is for you guys to tell your best friends who love NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing, because this show is going to blow you away. We've got so many great things. Erica Ender Stevens is going to tell us about that 11-minute engine change in great depth. You are going to love it. It is awesome. And Jim Oberhofer and Doug Coletta from the Winner's Circle, Eric Lane from the Napa Auto Parts Dodge Charger DSR team, going to tell us about their day. Top Alcohol Funny Car winner Doug Gordon is going to join us, a late addition to WFO. We've got a lot of great stuff at the tail end. And, of course, we're going to go in depth on a couple of different subjects. So stick around. You're going to love it. Throughout the weekend, I met so many WFO radio listeners, it was outrageous. We got a lot of listeners down there in Houston, Texas, and I appreciate it greatly when people stop me and say, hey, I'm listening to WFO, I love what you're doing. Sam Porchow's nephew, you need to contact me. I will give you your stickers. I lost track of you. I had to go upstairs, but let's get into it. Let's make it happen. so many people saying what's up about WFO, and you get to meet them and get to know them, and you see what they're doing and how they're out there, and they're all business people, and they've been successful building a business as an entrepreneur, coming up with an idea and making it happen. And it's a great challenge, but there is great benefit to it. And most importantly, from here on out, I need you to know that I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA, one of our great sponsors. They also know what goes into every successful racing-related business, whether it be PR reps or marketing experts or advertiser relationships or engineers. When it comes to building these relationships, sound legal and business advice may help you avoid costly mistakes along the way. And Spiegel & Utrera PA, they're lawyers, they have something called the General Counsel Club that can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And they may help you avoid those mistakes. Right now, for WFO Radio listeners, from New York to L.A., Chicago to Miami, Houston, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. All you have to do is go to WFOradio.com, click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad, and enter your information, so your email address. They're actually going to send you a printed copy of their Entrepreneurs Alert newsletter. There's an 800 number for you to call and ask unlimited business and legal questions. It's a great deal. You get a 30-day membership, and they can assist with converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses. What are legitimate business expenses for tax purposes, of course? Assistance with trademarks and copyrights, creation of business entities, drafting of contracts and documents, IRS examinations, audits, liens, levies, deficiencies, settlements of tax disputes, leasing versus buying options for real estate, vehicles, and of course equipment, tips on leasing a business location, all of these things that you might have a question, you're thinking about getting into business, you've got some ideas and concepts, you don't know exactly who to run them by or how to go about it, the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club can assist you. There's no credit card information required. There's no obligation. They are supporters of WFO Radio, and they know that the WFO Radio audience is very interested in moving forward with some sort of business idea or concept. Go to WFOradio.com, click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad on the right-hand side of the page, and enter your information and email address. You'll receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club, and frankly, they're part of the reason this show is even possible. Check it out. Knowledge is power, and knowing that Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club is just one phone call away may give you the confidence to succeed in business and rest well at night. We'll be back with Erica Anders Stevens after this on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey everybody, Joe here, and I hereby decree on behalf of the WFO universe, the winter is over, which means it's time to grill. Get yourself some Rodax Coffee and Grills.com, barbecue, spice rub, hot sauce, and of course, incredible coffee. They've got the WFO Radio Blend, they've got the Bang the Blower, they've got the Exotics. It's all roasted fresh per your order, representing the top 5% of coffee throughout the world. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give Marvin a call. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the streets. That's Redline Oil.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
Just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO store to order yours today.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, following up the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Spring Nationals, presented by Superstar Batteries at Royal Purple Raceway. Wow, they got that thing sponsored very well. It was a huge event and a lot of great moments. And we're going to hear from the winners. We're going to hear from Doug Coletta, Jim Oberhofer in an interview, one of the best that I've ever done. He really talked the whole time. Eric Lane from Ron Capp's team. But we're starting off with the Pro Stock winner. No doubt the biggest single cheer all weekend long, maybe all season long, maybe in the last 5 years, as Erica Ender Stevens turned on the win light in the final round over Chris McGahey. She joins us now. Erica, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Joe. How are you?
Oh, great, great. You've been on the show a lot lately. Looking back through the archive, we had you on to talk about Vegas. Then you went on to win. We had you on to talk about winning Vegas. Then the next race you go on and win here in Houston. You are on a roll.
Well, we're trying. You know, we're trying to make up a little bit for the start of our season, but yeah, just a tremendous weekend. We just wanted to come in there and do the best that we could. You know, we didn't qualify quite as well as we had hoped. And then finally on that fourth session, we went out there and laid down a really nice pass to move up to the number four slot. And, you know, Sunday was just a really fun day for my entire Lupe Tortilla team.
It was a huge day. We're battling rain, like, all weekend long. And that's tough because getting in the are we going to race, are we not going to race groove is very difficult, but once eliminations rolled around, you were absolutely able to get on it. Starting off with that first round run against AJ, where he goes 004, and you were right with him with a 005. I think that really set the pace for the day.
Yeah, I think so as well. You know, I had set up to go about 15 on the tree, and I was a little bit quicker, and, you know, to be 005 and leave last just really says something about the competition out there. It's pretty cutthroat, so yeah, I was excited that we were able to get that win over AJ. I hate it for him because he's my buddy, but, you know, for those 6.5 seconds, you have no friends. So getting that first round win definitely set the pace for the day.
Tremendous. The 005 reaction time, just really making a statement. And the second round, going up against Vincent Nobile, who you have run a lot, especially lately. That Mountain View tire machine is in the other lane, and Vincent has said that he's not as quick as they want to be, so he's taken some shots on the starting line in the first round. I believe he had a 000 perfect reaction time, and in the second round he turned it red against you. But when you pull up into the water box against Vincent, you know he's now seeing the numbers stack up against you, against him when he races you, and is going to take a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. And Vincent's, you know, a very good lever out there. He has been since he started. So, you know, I knew going up there that I had to be on my A game. We had a pretty great race car, and that run against him that we made, I believe we went a 55, which was our best run of elimination. So just really pretty looking on the graph, and we were very excited about that. But, you know, Vincent, something had to happen over there. I didn't have the opportunity to talk to him afterwards, but I'm assuming his car rolled or something, because 50 red is very uncharacteristic. That's like, you know, just either... that's even worse than meeting it on, meeting the lights coming on. So something was fishy over there, and, you know, again, hate it for him, but, you know, I missed the tree a little bit that round. That was my worst light of the day, and I told my crew chief on the radio after we got the wind light, you know, I shut the car down. I said, you know, I missed the tree a little bit, but because he was red, it made me feel even worse on the starting line. So I had no idea that he red lit, you know, until the end of the track when I saw the wind light on my guard wall, because I just saw his nose out in front of me the entire time, and I was like, no way, I just ruined our day by being late on the starting line, and, you know, but it all worked out, so that was a significant round for us.
Maybe not perfect in this situation, that example, because you think Vincent maybe had a problem, and you're right, in 052, but sometimes racing a formidable opponent causes people to make mistakes, those intimidation wins that we hear about. And we saw it over the years so many times with, like, John Force. People know they're at a disadvantage, so they press a little harder and they make mistakes. And maybe that's starting to happen with you. You've got a very quick hot rod. You're proving yourself as a driver. You just went 005. People are starting to maybe do things that they wouldn't normally do to try to take you down.
Yeah, and I'll take that. You know, that's something that's taken over a decade to accomplish, is, you know, to get my competitors to feel that way. So, you know, that's something that Jed Coughlin has had, and Jason and Greg Anderson have had. Like, they've all created their own luck over the years as far as, you know, opening the door for their competitors to make mistakes. So, you know, having said that, I don't really want to talk badly about them or whatever, but you know, it's just about us and our team, and we've just got to continue to do our job and not get off our game, you know, and carrying that momentum from Vegas into Houston. My crew chiefs are very confident. Ricky Jones and Mark Ingersoll, they've just worked so incredibly hard to get this race car right, and you know, we're going to try to stay on top of that as long as we can. As far as my driving's concerned, I feel great behind the wheel of that car. I absolutely love my Chevy Camaro. It's been great to me, and I'm comfortable in there. So we've just got to keep on keeping on, I guess, and we'll see what happens. But that's one of those deals where you got to ride the wave as long as you can.
It seems apparent. You got Richard out there going out racing, and it's there's this energy around your team and Elite Motorsports right now, and I can see how it would be complicated to stay wherever you are, however you got there, with the group, with the feeling, with the fun, all of those things, to keep that momentum going and not have it be broken by something that is unrelated to racing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, there were a lot of distractions this weekend, and, you know, we were able to put those behind us and just focus on what we needed to do. Typically, it's just Drew and I as teammates, Roger Brogdon leasing engines, but as you mentioned, we threw Richard Freeman into the mix this weekend, and he got back behind the wheel of the Elite Motorsports Pro Stock car, and, you know, he did a really good driving job. He hasn't competed since 2012. You know, he tested some at the beginning this year in my new car, but he just did a really great job, and I was proud of him, and, you know, I tried to work with him a little bit on Sunday for, you know, getting his reaction time better. That car was built for me. You know, I'm 5'8 and 100 and something pounds, and he's like 6'3 and you know, damn near 300 pounds. So it's just like he was all bunched up in that car and not comfortable. And as a driver, you know, that affects you in your reaction time. So he did so good, and I was obviously hopeful that he would beat Chris first round, because we were on opposite sides of the ladder, but, you know, it didn't work out that way. So having to put those distractions aside and focus on what we were doing, because we were just thrashing and so busy with so many team cars out there, and then my husband was racing as well, so I was just trying to get behind every car and watch everybody and do what I could to help. So yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, you just gotta put all of that out of your mind and focus on what you're doing.
We got to get Richard on WFO at some point in the future. He's certainly a character. I'd love to get him away from the racing setting so we can dig down on his, you know, his view of what's going on and his attitude. Hopefully you can help us out with that. Semifinals, Jonathan Gray. When you guys run each other, everybody thinks about the Trip Zero race that happened last year. He's a good lever. You left first, and you outran him with a 57-0, punching your way into, like, an all-Texas final round. Talk about that, you know, East Texas, West Texas. Is there some sort of rivalry within the state? It certainly felt like the way the crowd reacted that it was East Texas representing there.
Yeah, Southeast Texas. But, you know, before I talk about the finals, I want to focus on what went on in our pit before that, before the semifinal round. You know, after second round, beating Vincent, we serviced the car as normal, made some significant changes, one of them being a transmission change. And after we do that, we always fire the car and run through the gears to make sure everything's right. And after, you know, I went through the gears, something in the motor broke. Like, I heard it, and then it started to idle funny, so I killed it. And my guys went through, you know, pulled the valve covers and looked, and there was something broken that we couldn't fix. And at that point, we had, like, 15 minutes to be in the water box for live TV. So my team, Andrew Skillman's team, all pulled together. Drew Skillman's guys got a motor ready out of his trailer, put an intake manifold and carburetors on it, while my guys pulled the engine out of my car. You know, we switched it on the engine changing beam, put that motor in my car, got it all buttoned up and fired it up in time to make it up there to race Jonathan Gray. And it just says so much about my team and what they're capable of, because it would have been so easy. You know, they were all like, we don't have time. We can't do it. We can't make it. I'm like, we gotta freaking try, man. This is a big race. We're running really well. And at that point, everybody just jumped in and pulled their weight and did awesome work, and not just got it done and all the mechanical aspects of it, but did it in 11 minutes and made zero mistakes. So we were able to get up there and run Jonathan and do well enough to get to the finals, but not have lane choice. So that was kind of a crazy situation, and I just wanted everyone to feel like what it was like in our pit area. I watched the ESPN show last night, and it kind of they were in our pit for just a couple of minutes, but it didn't really show like what exactly went on, and it was an incredible atmosphere. I've never experienced anything like it in my career, and, you know, a bunch of my guys had said the same thing. So it was so cool to see everybody work so well together and focus on what we wanted to do, and that was win that race. So got past Jonathan going into the finals against Chris, and just an awesome day. I think we were more excited to win the semis than we were to win the entire event, but my guys are incredible, and it was really neat to have an all-Texas final in Houston.
Let's dig down on that. I got in late and haven't gone back to watch the coverage as of the time of this interview, but I've heard all about it, and the numbers just don't make sense. How on earth do you change an engine in 11 minutes and get everything right? That is shocking, but we often hear that these mechanics, the people who are in this sport, they're the best in the business for a reason. They don't get the celebration that they deserve for that. And maybe there are contests and competitions that they could enter if they wanted to, but I think they would rather be working on real race cars for moments like this. But that, the number, 11 minutes to change an engine, go out there, get everything working, and not make mistakes, and beat another team, is just shocking.
It really is, and I mean, like I mentioned, it just goes to show what my guys are made of. I talk about them all the time, and I'm sure people get sick of me saying the same things, but they're so amazing and so incredible, and that how they pulled their weight that day was just awesome. You know, there was like 3 seconds of silence where, you know, somebody said, we don't have time, we can't do it, and I looked at my team owner and my engine guy and I said, we got to try. And from that comment on, like, everybody was like balls to the wall, just working as hard as they could. I jumped in, took the headers off the car. I mean, everybody pulled weight. My dad was there. He was helping. There was like 25 people on my car, and I'm going to put some photos up later on social media so people can see just how, like, everybody was working together. Nobody stepped on each other. Nobody got in each other's way. It just was, it was so crazy, Joe. I mean, I'm so proud of them. It was like really an emotional win because of that. I mean, they're amazing, and I'm so blessed to have them, and that's why my team, my guys are the world champions because of what they are capable of doing in situations like that.
So awesome to hear about it and the character that that builds. Something extra comes out of it because now you know you can do it if that situation ever arises again. Amazing. So final round is happening. It's live television. Everything is going on. It's Chris McGahey. There's no one more hungry than those guys. He's been there so many times, so close, getting past the semis and out to the final, sneaking up on it. And it's an all-Texas final round. And the cars take off. You with an 11, him with an 18. So it's a great race. You run another 57, 57-1. The wind light comes on. I'm on the starting line. I'll give you my perspective. A incredibly loud shout of just like, yeah, this huge emotional outburst from the crowd. And it really was shocking because I'd say 90% of the people in the stands were pulling for you. And when you won, they just went nuts. It was as if you're at a New York Yankee game and a Yankee hit a home run. You don't really see that at a racetrack because there's fans of all different drivers there. But in this particular place, at this particular track, they were all rooting for you. And then after the race, at the winner's circle, I'm talking to some of the fans, and they're like, you got to understand, this is Erica Country. It is real. We love her. We follow her. The fans here are attached to her because she came up here, and it is absolutely a real thing that we feel here for Erica, her family, her team, her car, and when she's on the racetrack. And I haven't heard fans talk about that, about a racer, in a long time, like that really strong connection. It's very unique. I think it was great.
I do, too. I feel really blessed to have such a strong fan support, and it's crazy. I mean, standing at the ropes and signing autographs and taking pictures this weekend, I try to spend as much time as I can back there, and having the opportunity to talk to the fans and hear their stories and, you know, people saying, you know, we watched you out here when you started racing juniors. We were at this national event when you won in Super Gas. I mean, we were out here on Wednesday nights for Quick 32 races and saw you, you know, in your super comp car and your top dragster, and just it's so cool to hear how long they've actually followed us and for them to be along for the ride on this incredible journey that we've had. You know, I've been racing for 23 years now, which is crazy to me, but yeah, the fan support means the world to me, and I'm in my car, so I'm unable to hear what the grandstands sound like, but my team and my family said it was just an awesome atmosphere. And then, you know, being in the winner's circle with you afterwards with Coletta and Caps, I mean, just the fans that were gathered there at the winner's circle, it was nuts. So I'm really proud to represent Houston, and I'm so thankful that those guys and gals stand behind us.
Certainly something special. And for all you listeners out there, it was a big moment. That's all I can say. It was a big moment. There are very few things that I have experienced in person that I can compare it to. The electricity that goes on, and it just shows that as you win more races and win over more fans and people go to the track and they were there for that and they felt that energy, then they become a fan. That's how giant fan bases are built, and you are on your way. And now the points leader, 15 points ahead of Jason Line, this far into the season, that's a good place to be.
Yes, sir. You know, we're excited to be back in the lead, and it's very early on in the season right now after just completing six races. We're a quarter of the way through. So, I mean, I feel like it's going to be another knockdown, drag-out fight year for this championship, and we've got a lot of really, really tough competitors out there. So we're just, like I mentioned earlier, just going to try to stay on our A game and not get distracted and keep it focused on what we want to happen and, you know, continue to make changes to head in the right direction with, you know, the new fuel, the new tire. We're going to implement that new car back into our program as quickly as possible. I mean, it's a great chassis, so you'll see that car back out there on the circuit here pretty soon. And we've just got to make strides to continue to get better because, you know, our competitors are certainly raising the bar, and we want to do so for them as well. So I'm excited about what's to come, very optimistic, and just blessed to have such a great team that stands behind me. I'm really thankful to Richard Freeman. He's a great leader and has organized a wonderful group of people. So that's, I feel like that's why we're successful, is because of the people that are involved, absolutely. I mean, money and horsepower don't hurt, but the people are what make it amazing. So we've got a lot of good things in the works, and I don't mean to ramble, but we've got Racing in Red on the hood of our car right now, which is we had a film crew follow us the entire championship season last year, and they captured the majority of our event wins, and then they were there in Pomona when we were able to go down to the final race, to the, you know, the final round of the final race to secure the championship. They caught all of that on film, and we're putting it into a movie and or a documentary, and fans can go to racingandred.com and get involved and see how to help us fund this deal and be a part of the team. So it's pretty interesting stuff, and lots of great behind the scenes footage where they get to know my guys better and see what happens, you know, off the racetrack. So I want to encourage the fans to get involved in that if they have time. It's racingandred.com.
Very good, and we will. Racingandred.com. Now, you had Lupe Tortilla on, and they were on several cars in addition to yours, so they are obviously big supporters of the sport of drag racing in general, which is awesome. You bring them to the winner's circle in dramatic fashion, so that is great. Of course, I hear 16 locations around Texas, which is awesome. But now that the success is starting to pile up, you want to stay in that zone of greatness that you have found yourself in now for a couple of seasons. How about the marketing side? I know you're always working on that as well. You've got multiple things you're working on: staying competitive, getting faster, working on the car, obviously being a great driver, but you also have to bring in that big primary that you can partner with that can keep it going for the next couple of years. I know you've alluded to some things going on. I know you can't tell me details until they're launched, but is that program advancing, and can we hope to see something down the road?
Yes, sir. It's absolutely going in the right direction, and, you know, we're very thankful for Stan and Sheila Holt's support with Lupe Tortilla on the side of our car. I grew up racing with Stan and Sheila's kids and started in junior dragsters, and Lupe's has been around since 1983, which is the year I was born, so I've been eating their great food for my entire life, and they're huge supporters of NHRA Millie Drag Racing, so we're thankful for them. So what we've done is hired a marketing company out of North Carolina, and I know I talked to you a little bit about that on the last show, but they've been really pounding the pavement, and right now, you know, it's so hard to find a primary sponsor for that big, you know, $1.5 million sponsorship. So we're trying to sell the car, race in and race out, so we were able to do that with Stan Holt in Houston, and, you know, we're hopeful to have a two-race deal with one of our partners starting in Topeka. And, you know, we're just going to try to piece the season together that way. And on top of that, we're trying to create business-to-business opportunities for our other marketing partners and getting them in places to sell their products that they weren't in before. So we're just trying to create opportunities for our partners to increase their revenue, which is our job. And we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens. I feel like I keep saying that. But I'm very encouraged, very optimistic. Pete Merkel and Gene from Inertia Sports in North Carolina have been a huge help to our program, and I really feel optimistic that we're going to have the chance to run the entire season this year, but we just got to keep working at it.
You are people are missing an opportunity every time you go out to not be on your car. It should happen. It needs to happen, and I think this is something we're going to look back on that is bigger than any one driver. I think this is helpful to the entire pro stock class. I think it is exciting for the whole sport of NHRA drag racing, what you guys are doing, and it has been fun being there to see it. Erica, thanks for coming on WFO Radio. I greatly appreciate it. What a tremendous weekend. Now you got a couple weeks off. What are you going to do between now and May 15th through 17th for the Summit Southern Nationals?
A couple of our friends are getting married here in New Orleans, and we've got a engagement party to go to this weekend, so that'll be exciting to have a little bit of normalcy in my life. And then the following week, I believe I'm heading to Oklahoma to test that new race car, you know, for a few days and see if we can get it all sorted out and hopefully bring it to Atlanta. So I'll be busy the following week testing, so we'll get 1 week off to kind of catch up on some housework. I haven't been home in 3 weeks, so got a lot to do, unpacking laundry, all that fun, silly stuff that we have to do. But I'm excited to be home for just a few days and see my dog and my husband, and it'll be fun.
That is awesome. Erica, thanks for making the time for us on WFO Radio. We greatly appreciate it, being able to delve deeply into what was going on behind the scenes. It's absolutely awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, Joe. Thank you.
Erica Enders-Stevens with us here on WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. And if that doesn't make you want to listen to WFO Radio on a weekly basis, on one of the million different ways to listen, I don't know what is. because going behind the scenes and hearing Erica talk about the 11-minute engine change and getting up there and cutting a light and getting it done, it's just awesome. And that's what champions are made of, frankly. And watching her go from junior dragster racer to super gas racer to pro stock racer part-time to pro stock racer to champion racer and now out there as champion trying to defend that championship, it has been something special. It has been awesome. She has grown so much as a driver. It's just great to watch. And let me tell you, I cannot say, I do not have the vocabulary to describe the moment when the win light came on, the shout, the energy that erupted from the grandstands. Something that you rarely see in drag racing because there's such a diverse fan base. This was not a diverse fan base. This was virtually everyone were fans of one driver, Erica Ender Stevens. It was awesome to watch and a lot of fun and great for pro stock. Simply great for pro stock. Thanks for Erica to come on the show. We greatly appreciate it. We got more to come though. We're going to take you back. Back to the winner's circle. Coletta Motorsports, Doug Coletta, Jim Oberhofer. It is one of the best interviews maybe in the history of drag racing. Jim O. Talking with him after the victory, clearly an emotional victory, a huge, huge sway in the statistics. Obviously, the final round stat, Tony Schumacher versus Doug Coletta in final rounds. There was a long streak that they broke. And how did it feel for him? And what was he thinking? And what about his team? We're going to get into it with Jimmo. In the winner's circle, you are going to love it, I guarantee. You're all going to be typing emails like, that was really great. And hopefully sharing it on Facebook and on Twitter. We're now using SoundCloud. We're using a whole bunch of different ways. The WFO Radio app, it's absolutely free. You can listen on iHeartRadio's Race Day Nation station. You can download on iTunes. There's just so many different ways to listen. If you've got an internet connection, and I know if you're listening right now, you've already figured it out. That's the challenge of us. Our challenge is the people who hear us are people who have figured it out. The people who haven't yet figured it out aren't listening to us. And so how do we change that? The best way is for you, the listener, to tell a friend or subscribe for a friend on their device. Look, here's how you do. Go to podcast, type in WFO Radio, and subscribe. And now you'll have everyone. Check, enable push notifications, that kind of stuff. And I'm very happy to say, you know what, I'll save it for later. Because something very special happened in Houston this week revolving us. WFO Radio is kind of an interesting thing that is happening now at these races that I'm going to when I announce. And I will clue you in later on in the show. Yes, it is a tease. I want you to listen through the Doug Coletta, Jim Oberhofer interview. Also, Eric Lane, co-crew chief for the Napa Auto Parts Dodge Charger. Going to talk about his driver's event. And speaking of his driver, Ron Capps, I told you before, I'll tell you again, send your questions. 954-889-6796. It is our WFO Skype line. It works just like a voicemail anytime, day or night. Ron is going to be on next week answering your questions. Hey, this is Jim. I'm calling from Chicago. My question for Ron is this. Hey, Ron. Blah, blah, blah. Thanks, guys. WFO. And we're going to present those to Ron next week. And he is going to answer your voice questions. So call him in, 954-889-6796, your questions for Ron Capps. Got a lot going on. Now, I want to tell you, our show goes on because we have sponsors, great sponsors, like Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. And they've got a program called The Dragster Adventure. Frank was on with us last week, a great interview. It's in our interview archive that you can get on the app and listen, because they're coming to Houston. They're going around the country with this Dragster Adventure program. It's something you need to know about. If you have a business, if you have clients, if you've got a great sales team, if you want to reward them with something special, the Dragster Adventure is a very cool deal. Go to the website frankhawley.com to check it out. You can see all the dates, the schedule, where they're going, when they're going to be there. You can find out 0 to 60 miles per hour in 3 seconds. Reach speeds of 130 miles per hour. Even do side-by-side racing against your group. It's just awesome. It's an awesome program, and we want you, the WFO Radio listener, to check it out. Each week, I say, get out the envelope for the people who are saving up, because courses start at $399, and I understand that's an investment. It's an investment that you will remember for the rest of your life. And a great way to save up for it is each week when I mention it, you throw $5, you throw $10, whatever you got extra, whatever's in the couch, and you throw it in the envelope. And next thing you know, at some point, to be determined in the future, you will have enough money to do this. And then you call 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. They'll even break it up into four easy payments for you to make it manageable. And next thing you know, you're out there, you're in a dragster, Frank is there, you're getting instruction, you're racing multiple tracks or multiple runs down the track, and you are in full control. You are the one smashing the gas. You are the one driving the car. You are the one slowing it down. It is not a ride-along. It is one of the greatest programs in all of motorsports, and we're happy to be talking to you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Check him out, 866-480-7223 for Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. We'll be back with Winner Circle Audio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Spring Nationals. Doug Coletta and Jimmo, you are going to love it without a doubt. We'll be back after this on WFO Radio.
It ain't just wide open, it's WFO.
Hey race fans, first you need to know, I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA. Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents, and more. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad and enter your email address and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine, published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. Hi, I'm Larry Dixon. You know, there's more to racing than pushing a top fuel dragster down the track at over 325 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds. Like in any business, it takes careful planning and hard work. YourVelocity.com provides the tools and information you need to effectively start, grow, and run a successful business. I'm excited to work with Velocity, not only as a spokesperson, but as a client. So don't spin your wheels. Visit YourVelocity.com today.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Welcome back to WFO Radio. We ran into so many WFO listeners out in Houston. At the tail end of the show, I'm going to talk about it. All kinds of great stuff. Remember, Ron Capps questions. Ron's going to be on next week, and he's going to be answering your questions. All you have to do is call the wide open line, 954-889-6796, and leave your question on the voicemail. It'll beep. You leave your, hey, this is Mike, this is my question, I'm calling from here, Ron, what do you think about this? Keep them brief, of course, less than a minute. Don't go on for 10 minutes because then I can't play it. And then WFO, and we'll play it for Ron next week. Very cool. I'm excited about it. Ron's excited about it to find out what kind of questions you guys have out there in Radio Land. Now, this past weekend, the winner's circle was just awesome. Doug Coletta and Coletta Motorsports, heavily, heavily passionate and excited about their big win. Let's go back to the winner's circle and hear from Doug Coletta first, then Jim Oberhofer in one of the most straight-up interviews I have ever given. Now back to Royal Purple Raceway and the winner's circle. WFO Radio here in the winner's circle with Coletta Motorsports and Doug Coletta after a huge victory here at the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Spring Nationals. Doug, great win.
Yeah, thank you very much. These things are, they actually don't come easy. So, just real proud of my whole team and, Jim and Troy and all these Mac Tools guys. It was incredible. Just anytime you can beat these guys out here, it's special.
For you as a driver, like this moment, like are you like coming down, relaxed, like, hey, I won, and everyone's happy, and Jimmo is just going nuts, and this is like such a fun group, but the intensity of the moment, you have to perform to, okay, I've won, how long does it take for you, for that to, like, you to realize that?
Yeah, it's certainly a big relief, just getting into the Traxxas shootout, that's huge, anytime you can get a Wally out here at any of these events is huge, and everybody works real hard with the Coletta Motorsports on all our teams, and it's just a great momentum builder for everybody. We'll just keep battling and look forward to going to Atlanta.
There's like this Coletta mantra or motto, race for fun. Like, you guys really go out of your way to make sure that your team and your guys, that you realize at all times that this is fun for you guys. What is the root of that?
Yeah, it's Connie. I mean, he's a hard charger. He wants to win, but he also wants, this is what he does for, his family's out here, and it's just been the tradition, really, with kind of how he rolls, and it's cool to be part of.
Awesome, Doug. Thank you very much. Go celebrate.
All right, thank you.
Here in the Coletta Winner's Circle with Jim Oberhofer. He is celebrating. We're celebrating.
Laura.
It's a celebration. How do you feel right now, obviously, about the victory?
I feel really good. I tell you what, like, we've worked so hard. Like, at the end of last year, we went into the countdown number one, and we sucked. And we struggled, and, me and my guys, Troy Fashing, Max Savage, every guy that works on a Mac Tools car, they have never given up hope. And we've worked so hard to, like, get back where we were. We've worked so hard with Connie Coletta. We've worked so hard with J.R. Todd's team. And Connie, he's been beat up a little bit lately with knee problems and stuff. And we've been out here, the last four races, like, run cars and stuff. And Connie's been such a huge supporter on the telephone side. And today was a good day. Like, the final round was a testament to Connie Coletta. Because we went out and we ran JR's car in Q4 and we ran 383. And in the semifinals with Doug's car, we smoked the tires. And I said, James Riola, I said, I need the sheet from Q4. I said, because I need that sheet because we're going to whoop Schumacher's ass in the final. And James brought it over. We looked at it and we've made JR's car and Doug's car so close. It's awesome. It's what the team's about. And we got lucky. I mean, Schumacher, he did a bad job of red lighting in the final round with a 009 light. But you know what? He did it. I mean, the guy rises to the occasion, even though I don't like the guy very much. But, their car is very capable of running very well all the time. And Mike Green, Don Schumacher, they're the best. That's what we're trying to be. And, Tony, no matter what, don't like the guy. He's a badass, And the final round, I knew Doug was going to do his deal, and Doug did his deal. He finally had a great light, and, our car hooked up the whole way in the right lane, which was not the lane of choice. And we won. We're lucky, And, this racetrack, Houston Raceway Park, for as much as we bitch about it and stuff all the time and the weather and everything, what a great racetrack this is. And the first race I ever won was here in 1989 with Scott Coletta. And it was the best feeling I've ever had. And to be able to win this race, you know, 26 years later, I guess, you know, with Dougie winning, what a great deal. And very proud of my team, very proud of Mac Tools, very proud of Connie Coletta. I mean, he's the best owner of all of motorsports, no matter what anybody says. And, you know, we'll go to the next race in Atlanta and see if we can't duplicate this. But very good day for Coletta Motorsports.
Jimmo, thanks for coming on WFO. Go celebrate.
And thank you, Joe.
Jim Oberhofer and Doug Coletta with us here on WFO Radio on location in the Winner's Circle at Royal Purple Raceway. And does it get more straightforward and more emotional than that? Jim Oberhofer just giving you the exact details of what went on and his thoughts about his competition. Doesn't like them, but they're the best in the business. And that's exactly the kind of stuff that I think that the sport needs and craves. And leave it to an old school guy like Jimmo to lay it out on the line. Is everybody going to like it? No, he knows that. He knows that there are DSR fans that aren't going to like that, but just the same, they're all out there with the same goal. And I think that's the old school drag racing mentality that people long for. And when you hear people saying, well, these days it's not the same, it might be washed a little bit, smoothed out a little bit, the rough edges kind of sanded down a little bit. And when you hear Jimmo just lay it out there with total respect for the competition, the ultimate respect, I think it is great, and I think it's what people want to hear. Now, you may have a differing opinion, and at the tail end of the show, I'll let you behind the scenes with a little something and ask your opinion as well. But first, we're going to go back to the Winner's Circle. We already mentioned Ron Capps not on this week's show because we're going to make him the star of next week's show answering your questions. But we did catch up with co-crew chief Eric Lane, who talks about the team, the win, and everything on location in the Winner's Circle at Royal Purple Raceway.
WFO Radio here in the Winner's Circle as Ron Capps' Napa Auto Parts Charger is pushed out of the Winner's Circle with a very happy Ron Tobler holding his chalice of victory in the cockpit. I'm the only one with the photograph. You'll only see it on WFO-related stuff. Fortunately, we get to speak with co-crew chief Eric Lane, who is very happy celebrating second win of 2015. You guys got it going on right now.
We're trying. We've kind of got ourselves a little embarrassed in Vegas because we went up against Robert and kind of slowed her down a little bit too much, and we got a little embarrassed, and we tested on Monday, and Ron and I sat down and we told ourselves that we need to step our program up, and that's what we did this weekend. And I'm really proud of my team. I'm really proud of Ron Capps and Ron Tobler, and I don't want to say a plan comes together, but it is, because we really wanted to step our program up, and I think we did. And we wanted to focus on 0 to 330, 0 to 400 feet, and that's what we did this weekend. We smoked the tires a few times out there, but the reason why is because we were going really good. We were at the top of the page, little quicker than Beckman's car, and that's what we wanted to do, and today it showed. So, and I was very proud of our guys today, and I'm happy, without a doubt.
Tremendous. You mentioned Robert. I can only imagine, because 1,000th of 1 second in the semifinals, and the camera was on you guys. You guys were like willing the car to victory, and it got on there. And then, of course, the final round against your teammate.
Well, you know, Robert's deal is they're a tough competitor. It's got Zippy over there tuning in. And, you know, when we were in Vegas, we kind of just... we told ourselves that we needed to do a little better, and we didn't. And we were disappointed in ourselves. We let Don down, and that was bad for us. And, you know, we told ourselves we ain't going to do this again, and we came up against Robert. We didn't let down. We did what we needed to do, and we trusted our race car. We trusted our crew guys. We trusted everything that we know how to do. And then we came out on the other side of it, you know. And sometimes you get the hard side. And today, my personal opinion is we had the hard side of the field. We had Hagen, we had Robert, and we had Beckman. You know, if you beat those three dudes right there, and we had Hale, and I ain't going to lie to you, Hale lately has been a tough competitor. We had to run 403. Now, did we need to run a 403? I think so, because we have to intimidate some people, and we did. And I we had a tough side today, and we did what we had to do, and I'm proud of Ron Tobler, and I'm proud of my guys, and I'm proud of Ron Cavs. And you know what? Napa know-how. That's all I got to say.
Go celebrate, capture this momentum. Great victory, second of the season. Congratulations,
Thank
Eric.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Eric Lane, co-crew chief of the Napa Auto Parts Dodge Charger on WFO in the winner's circle at Royal Purple Raceway following the O'Reilly Auto Parts Spring Nationals presented by Superstar Batteries. And they're obviously happy. They're pumped up, but they're also racing on a mission. They want to win the title. And it's about getting to that point. They've already logged two wins here in 2015. Interesting and exciting stuff. And I spoke with Eric, and I actually have some Crew Chief 101 questions that I want to ask, and we're going to bring him on in the future to answer those questions. I also have the ultimate photograph of Ron Tobler, in my opinion, that I was able to take, that I'm going to tweet out at some point very soon. Maybe now. Maybe I'm tweeting it right now. You don't even know. But it is super cool. Cap's got one that's pretty good, too. I saw on his Instagram page. But I think mine is pretty cool. So we'll see. A lot of great behind-the-scenes stuff going on, and we had a great time. WFO fans going to talk about you at the tail end of the show. Also, some interesting stuff going on. We'll get into that after we hear from Doug Gordon, the top alcohol funny car winner, coming on the show, a late addition, but we were able to get him for you Lucas Oil alcohol fans, battling the Swedish contingent and that rivalry. And I'm trying to build the rivalry in a fun, respectful way, but maybe not everybody takes it that way, and so we're going to delve into that as well. But first, we're going to hear from Doug Gordon when we return. But before that even, I want to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. If you're a WFO listener or you're new to the show, you need to know that our show happens because we have some great sponsors that make it possible for us to put together this show. And without them and their participation, whether it be Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School or Spiegel and Utrera PA or Rodax Coffee or anyone who has helped us along, Redline Synthetic Oil, who sent us to the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals for many years, Nick at YourVelocity.com, Wilson Manifolds, without them, we would not be able to do the show. Well, one of the great ways you can help support those who support us is by ordering up some Rodax Coffee. Most people have some coffee in the morning or enjoy a little barbecue on the weekends. Well, Marvin has got you covered in both directions. If you're a coffee drinker, try some gourmet Rodax coffee. Over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom blends like WFO Radio, the namesake blend, and Bang the Blower, Reaction Time. He's got a bunch of great ones, depending on your preference. And you need to call Marvin, and he'll walk you through, like, when do you drink, why do you like it, what are you looking for, what are you thinking about in terms of your coffee. There's a lot to it. And if you want to hear from Marvin, you can see we have an interview with him in our interview archive, Marvin Rodak. And he talks about all of these issues. He's also a big drag racing fan. But maybe you're a barbecue person and you like the spice rub. I hear some of our listeners like to put it on their tacos. They like to put it on what they're eating. Well, he's got the A26 award-winning spice rub, and he's also got these amazing hot sauces, all of which you can order by phone, and they will show up at your house. And you get the box, and you open the box, and you're all excited, and it's great. You try it, you cook, and you enjoy it. 817-924-6821. That's RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. Pick up the phone. Hey, Marvin, these guys on WFO, they're talking about you. I love the show. I want some coffee. Boom, bang, bing. You got it. And it works real easy. 817-924-6821. I recommend the WFO Radio Blend, but there's Bang the Blower and a whole host of exotics as well. Try them out. That's RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. We'll be back with Doug Gordon and a late addition to the show, Randy Meyer, the top alcohol dragster winner. Both Lucas Oil top alcohol class winners going to be on the show. We're going to delve into the Lucas Oil series. Doug Gordon going to talk about top alcohol funny car, beating Yanni Lindbergh and Ulf Leanders back-to-back. That is just tremendous. And Randy Meyer, second win of the season. We're just adding to the show as we go. It is absolutely awesome as we build another WFO Radio NHRA Nitro show. Remember, subscribe, download on iTunes, check it out.
Hey, this is Ron Capps, and you're listening to WFO.
Hi, I'm Larry Dixon. You know, there's more to racing than pushing a top fuel dragster down the track at over 325 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds. Like in any business, it takes careful planning and hard work. YourVelocity.com provides the tools and information you need to effectively start, grow, and run a successful business. I'm excited to work with Velocity, not only as a spokesperson, but as a client. So don't spin your wheels. Visit YourVelocity.com today.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better, or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com. Hey, race fans. First, you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera, PA. Spiegel & Utrera, PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, how to convert hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad right on the front page of WFO Radio, enter your email address, and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
And finally, this week on WFO Radio, we're going to delve into the Lucas Oil Top Alcohol classes that were also awesome out there at Royal Purple Raceway. And we're going to start off with the Top Alcohol Funny Cars. As we try to chase down Randy Meyer and Top Alcohol Dragster, we have got the Top Alcohol Funny Car winner. You heard it. He beat the Swedish contingent back-to-back. Here is Doug Gordon. Doug, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me back on.
Thanks for winning the race. You earned your way on here. Those guys,
though, that's pretty cool.
Those guys that you raced, very tough. They have found something. And for you to be able to say that you beat them back-to-back, that is just huge.
No, that is huge. I mean, we're pretty excited going up against Lindbergh second round. We were definitely pretty nervous. I mean, we made some big changes to see if we could step it up to come to his level. I could tell the previous round he ran was going to run probably around a 53 or so. So we stepped on it, didn't know if we could run that fast. But we were like, hey, well, let's see how fast we can make this thing run. And it stepped up, ran that 54, and luckily he didn't get down the track because he hole shot me pretty bad out there. So. He probably could have still won with like a 60, so.
It started off in the first round against Brian Haug. I guess we shouldn't take anything away from those guys as well. They were running in the low 60s and 50s throughout the weekend. You had an 064, ran a 561 to get to the second round, and Yanni blew an engine, and I was talking about it on the microphone. I was wondering, as you guys are looking at the ladder, knowing, all right, if we beat Brian, we'll have to run more than likely Yanni, and that's going to be tough. Do you keep track of the fact that they had hurt an engine, and did you feel like a little more confident, like, hey, we might have them on the ropes after that?
You know, not really, because, you know, we ran first round at 9 o'clock in the morning or whatever, so I knew there was a long time between rounds. I figured they had parts over there. They're a good team. I figured they had parts. And so that, I didn't really think that was going to affect them at all. Now, if it was between rounds, between second and third round and stuff, man, it would have been hard, because they were running so fast between rounds. But due to the time, and I figured they had parts, so I figured they were going to be there and ready. So the only thing I was kind of hoping for was hoping the track might get a little warmer and he might, have a little more trouble getting down.
And they did, though. It turned out that way. You had a 5.54.8. You were able to beat Yanni, and then a bye run into the final round, and that's got to be just a great feeling to pull up to the line in the semis knowing you just got to go down the track and you're in the final round.
No, it was. It was a great feeling, and even, you know, I knew all I got to do is just take a green light here, and then we wanted to run it down, see if we could run good, and it actually started pulling me through. I'm like, oh no! And I'm like, man, I can't roll through the lights. So I let off the gas a little bit to try and keep it from rolling. So I end up leaving low just to keep it there. And I was surprised it ran as fast as it did with how low I left. But we were happy.
5.56.0. Then the final round on the other side of the ladder. Chris Houle goes red with a great 5.57 run. He had to be very upset. The SK Pro Tools car. Ulf Leanders 5.62. So it's you and Ulf Leanders in the final round. Ulf had won in Gainesville, so they had some recent success. And neither of you had the final round run that you wanted. Take me through that round, though, because you had to drive the wheels off the car to get it, just get to the finish line. It took a huge effort.
No, it did. I mean, I really didn't expect it to. We kind of left it the same from the previous round. I thought it'd go out there and run somewhere around a mid-50 again and then just see what happens. But it went out there, had a lot of wheel speed early, and then ended up shaking. And then so I pedaled it real quick, and when I pedaled it, it went over towards the wall. I'm like, oh, no. So right at the top of low, I kind of pedaled it again to try and mellow it out. I shifted it, and every time I shifted it, I was against the wall. And I'm like, oh, man, don't make a turn. And then I realized it's really rough over there by the wall, and it was bouncing and bouncing and bouncing. And finally, about 1,000 foot, I'm like, man, I'm going to end up rubbing the wall this thing if I don't be careful. So I got off the gas, and as soon as I got off the gas, it allowed the car to settle down and turn towards the center of the track again. So I hit it down real quick again, like, go, 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 and it went through the line and never saw him. So I finally saw the wind light. It was pretty exciting.
I love hearing you talk about it. Hearing you talk about it is almost as eventful as being in there? No, I don't think so.
I got down at the other end. I'm like, man, that was a wild ride. It probably wasn't nearly as wild a ride from people watching as it was inside the car. But that was a fun one. It was exciting.
What do you think about where the class is right now? I've been watching this sport for a long time. I've always loved alcohol funny cars, but there's a time where the fans need to go get a break, have some food, go to the bathroom, mm-hmm. go buy some stuff. But it seems like the class is really fighting hard to keep them in the stands with all these personalities and battling it out. Frank Manzo kind of retires, steps away, so the dominating force in the class is now gone. There's a vacuum, and everyone is trying to kind of carve out their territory. It seems like we've got a lot of cool, hip, young personalities, an international base in this class. The cars are wild. They're hard to drive. They're all over the place. They're occasionally banging up against the wall. You guys are shifting in there. And it seems like alcohol funny cars may be poised for a renaissance, or at least to grasp the eyes of new fans.
No, I think so. I think so. There's there's a lot of good close races anymore. A lot of guys are going down the track. You know, the Yanni Lindbergs and stuff, I mean, they definitely have something ahead of most all of the rest of us. But at the same time, he's not getting down the track every time either. So we have a chance here and there, you know, of a little inconsistency. But, you know, when he is getting down, he's pretty hard to beat. But overall, I was talking about it with one of my guys, Antonio, and stuff on the way back home. And it's like, man, who could be really going for the championship? We were naming off all these different people that really had chances of the championship, you know. You just never really know who's going to pull it out and who's going to make it happen. So it could be exciting.
I was on the mic for the finals and leading up to it, and I feel badly stoking the flames of the rivalry of the United States drivers versus the international contingent, because they're great guys, and they're cool guys, and they're fun, and they're nice, and they love the sport, and they actually love their fellow drivers, and so it's really a positive thing. At the same time, The fans love that stuff, and you got a huge cheer when you won one for the good old U.S. of A. What is your attitude about that, that kind of rivalry that goes on, and the fact that a lot of Texas fans were cheering for a California guy because he was winning races?
Yeah, I think that's cool. I mean, it just kind of gets people excited to still, you know, even if you could be the Ford versus Chevy and all that kind of stuff. It's just something to give people something to be excited about. You know, for me personally, you know, they're just another race team out there that I want to beat, and they're definitely, both of them are one of the best race teams out there. So they're, you know, more exciting to win when you can beat the best. So that part of it's cool. The Swedes versus the USA, I think that's just kind of, it makes it exciting. But in general, for me, it's just it's beating one of the best, and they're one of the best right now. Whether Swedish or American.
Well, exactly. Any idea, as you work on your car and work on your program, and this is a question I ask myself, and I'm sure you're asking yourself, what have they done to gain this performance? Like, what is out there, without giving up your own personal trade secrets or what you're working on? What areas of the car do you think this performance that they have been able to show occasionally comes from? Is it all the clutch? Are they making more power? Are they doing everything a little bit better? And what are you doing to try to catch up?
Well, I think they're just doing everything a little bit better. You know, they're obviously putting forth a lot of effort into drag racing, just in the fact of flying over here, having separate race teams, all the stuff they're doing to be able to run over here. They've obviously put forth a ton of effort into drag racing. And I think that's kind of how, like, Frank Manzo and stuff did it. I mean, he just put in so much effort into it, and he put that he became the best. I think they're finding little areas, little spots in all the different areas, whether it's clutch, motor, trans, tires, everything. They're just finding little bits here and there and perfecting them better than some of the other guys that maybe aren't putting forth quite as much effort, or they're just doing a better job too. But you know, for us, we're trying things. You know, we're trying to get out of our box a little bit. You know, we had some tune-ups that would go down the track every time, and we just, you know, but they would go down okay. So once you see those guys really start stepping up, then you just get out of your box and you try different clutch combinations. You try different RPM, you know, shift points. You try different stage RPMs, and just, you know, start moving in different directions and find things that will pick up different areas. You'll lose some here and gain some there, and so that's what we're trying to do too, you know.
Doug, thank you for coming on WFO Radio, sharing your victory with us and our listeners. We love hearing these battles, and we have no idea who's going to win the championship either. It's going to be fun watching everybody sort it out nationwide, worldwide. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to tell us about your win.
For sure. Hopefully I get to talk to you guys again.
I have a feeling it will happen. Thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. Doug Gordon with us here on WFO Radio. And from Alcohol Funny Car to Top Alcohol Dragster, where Randy Meyer got after him out there in Houston, and he joins us now. Randy, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
Great. Thanks. Thanks for having me back again. It's always nice to be able to visit with you guys on the show.
It's great to hear from you, especially after a strong performance out there. You really were laying down the 520s most of the day.
Yeah, it was a good day for the Randy Meyer team, and we've worked hard all the winter and to find a little extra horsepower, and it's starting to pay off. And we've been trying a lot of different things to try to get even better and improve and try not to beat ourselves. And so far it's been pretty good, other than a couple little races where I made some mistakes, but the car is very happy and we're happy and the team's all happy, so it's all good right now.
Well, some great success, and I would love to know what those things are that are picking you up, but I'm sure that's top secret material.
Well, yeah, because some of them might slow somebody down, so I don't want to confuse anybody and they get mad if their car doesn't run better. So we'll just leave it at that. How's that?
There you go. Let's talk about you round by round. Where in the first round you went up against Aaron Tatum, you were able to get by him. That 529 at 271 started your day off right.
Yes, it was. You know, the air was better and the track was good, and I thought, well, you know, we want to go up and try to. We figured if we could run, you know, in the 20s or maybe the real low 30s, that we could good enough to get the win and try to get some data for the rest of the day, because we were trying some things in qualifying and didn't run quite as strong as we could have or should have probably. But, you know, we've been using our qualifying to test some things, and that way you can run in with the same people that you're up against during the weekend and judge your performance. And how you stack up that particular day. So that worked out good. And so we got off to a really good start, and we liked the fact of running four rounds in one day because you can, you know, you're not going from complete weather conditions from one to another. So if you get off to a good start like we did, then we just kind of tweak it from there.
Absolutely. I thought that was kind of cool, too. A bummer losing the Saturday afternoon round, but I can imagine that's how the pros do it, running all in one day. The conditions are the same. You did have to get out there kind of early, but in the end, it clearly worked out. In the second round, you had to go up against Jim Whiteley, former champ, back in the car of Norm Grimes, spinning that supercharger against your A-Fuel car. You put a 527.9 on the board, and you were able to take him out.
Yeah, he's Jim's a tough competitor. We've raced hard over the years, and there's a reason why he's been a couple-time champion. I end up being a little bit behind him, but you know, they're not off to as good a start as what they normally would be with Norm. And but at the same time, we knew we couldn't take him lightly, so I decided, you know, we would roll a little bit and tweak it a little bit. I knew they weren't, you know, running in the 20s, but I knew that we had to run in 20s because they were capable of, with the caliber of people over there, capable of any time of putting it together and making it happen and making me look bad like they had in the past.
Some interesting runs that round as well, like the Kyle Mihalik versus Mia Tedesco run, just in terms of generating interest for the class. Also, Cameron Ferre and Lee Calloway, the new blood, the fresh excitement coming into Top Alcohol Dragster. It's kind of cool watching things develop with the two different combinations, who goes in one way, who goes in another way. This is definitely a class that you don't want to miss when you're at the track.
Very, very true. And, you know, it's not the same old boring thing. It's similar to the Pro Mod where you have two or three different engine combinations. And what's unique about ours, if you look at, you know, the number one and two qualifier, they both ran 29s and one, you had one of each of the combinations. So it tells everybody that it's pretty fair and it can be done. And that's kind of what we judged our performance off of. We knew we could run quicker and knew that the track would handle it. And it's a very interesting deal because there's some people that love the alcohol deal and the revving the motor up and the high RPM, and there's some guys that really love the down low and noisy A fuel cars that go out and grunt their way down through the racetrack. So it's nice because you do have some apples and oranges there, and some days they both ripe, and some days it can go one way or the other.
Grunts its way down the track is a great way to say it. I like that. In the semis, you had to go up against the number one qualifier, Lee Calloway, having best performance weekend that they have had, and you uncork a 526.4 at 272.94, left the starting line first as well, so that was a huge run.
Yeah, that was probably, you know, I was more concerned about him than I was Whiteley, just because of based off performance that they did in qualifying and based off what Lee had done earlier. So, you know, we stepped it up just a little bit more, and again, we're trying not to beat ourselves and trying to race smart this year. And you know, some days you get lucky and it makes you look like a hero, that you know what you're really doing. And we just, you know, things just happen to fall in place for us, and we didn't beat ourselves on that run too, and made it really feel good, and kind of, you know, brought a little bit of confidence back to me and my team, because I, you know, after my red light in Charlotte and smoking the tires the weekend before, you know, I kind of had two bad weekends in a row. So I need a little confidence booster, and you know, that really just kind of put the icing on the cake.
Final round against Dave Brunkowski, and he red lights. Looked like he started to roll through. You went 5:32, icing on the cake. You win the event, and just the capper on the weekend.
Yeah, it was great. And Dave's they're a good team, and they're all, you know, everybody that race against is pretty good friends of mine for the most part. We get along, and we help people out. We helped them out a little bit all weekend with some stuff, and their car was getting better, and it was interesting because he told me that if he happened to run me in the final, that he would he'd put some of them old parts back on his car. But then when it come time, he denied to do that. So it was kind of interesting, and we had a good time with that. But you know, to go up there and to make the runs that we did, and you know, we thought, well, that 26, we were pushing it pretty hard. So I thought, you know, I'm not going to try to go any quicker. I thought if we could run again in the 20s or a really, really low 30, that we should have enough to take care of the deal and not beat yourself. And it turned out, you know, the track was actually got a little bit better, and you know, it would have took a little bit more, and it kind of we left a little bit on table, but you know, it was enough to get the job done. And like I said, we're just trying not to beat ourselves, and it worked out great. And to do that at the end of the day after a long day and a little warm and heat and stuff in Texas and not get wet, it was a great day.
second win of the year, and just a huge one. The crowd was awesome. What was your feeling about just the atmosphere at the track? My feeling was that it was electric for a bunch of reasons. I was very impressed at how many people came out, given the weather. They came out anyway, and they were super diehard fans. Everyone like really excited, cheering. What kind of energy were you feeling out there?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think the people that came out, they're the diehard racers, and they came out there because they wanted to be there. They came out there because they wanted to see their superstars, and I think they got their money's worth from all the different classes. And it was great, you know, because it was pretty gloomy all week long, and we were like a lot of people. We waited in Dallas for a while before we made the final decision for sure to go, and just goes to show that you never know for sure with the weather guys, and they can be like tuners sometimes. They can miss it by a mile.
Very much so. Now, one thing I've been saying on the microphone when you come up, and I wanted to talk with you about it here on the show. It's great we were able to get you in here at the tail end, but I like to think about just the volume, the sheer numbers of successful people that are out there at the weekend at the track racing, and everyone's got to be successful in something, otherwise they can't be there. It takes a lot of money and it takes a lot of time, and you have to have been able to do something to afford to buy the parts and pieces to make this thing go. At the same time, there's a guy like you who, you've got a truck center, so you're running your business, but at the same time you build your own chassis. That's like a rarity these days, but you're there, you're doing it all hands-on. Then you put the thing together, you're tuning the car, and you're driving the car. Like, that is as old school as it gets, and it has to be a really like prideful experience when you take this thing of pipe, this pile of pipe that you welded into a shape, and you put an engine in it, now you're racing it, and you go out there and you beat these other guys. What kind of feeling do you get from it? Do you even think about it in those terms?
Well, you know, I used to in the old days. You know, it was interesting because back in 1983, when I was pretty young, because I'm getting pretty old now, like some of us, but I remember the time when I built my very first car, because I had no money to buy a car, so I built my very first car, and I put some things on it that were really unique and different and homemade, and I remember some people laughed at me at the first cup race I went. I said, you know, they said, well, you can't run that, and I said, why? They go, because that's not what everybody runs. I said, well, you didn't answer my question. Why I can't do that? Well, that's just not what everybody does. And then about three races in, we ended up we reset the world record, and then by the end of the year, we won the world championship with a blown alcohol car, which some people may remember that, may not, but that was back in 1983. So we've been racing for 35 years now, and along the way, whether, you know, I always built new cars and always tweaked my cars, and you know, there's a difference when you try to run the big numbers, that the car is a very important part of that piece of that pie to make all that work together. And where these other guys buy used cars that were built for something else, whether they're old top fuel cars or whatever, they never work as well because they were never built or designed for that. And so I think I have a little bit of a leg up sometimes because of the fact I've owned and built so many different cars. And that's how I made my money for a long time racing, was building cars for other people and helping other people by selling them cars and repairing their cars and stuff. And but, you know, when you're right, it's very, very unusual to have a guy that, you know, builds the cars, that does all the motor work and builds their motor pieces and stuff, and then, you know, I drive the truck and I drive the trailer, and we used to build our own trailers even because we didn't have enough money to buy one, and, you know, fortunately now we're able to be able to have someone build a trailer for us, so we don't have to do that part anymore. But to me, that's what old school drag racing was about. You know, I mean, I look at the two people part on each side of me, and both teams on each side of me had two crew chiefs, and that's all they were just crew chiefs. It's kind of like a small version of the top fuel guys, and it's like, and they got, you know, six, eight, nine people with this one guy, and the other guy's got four people, and some people are on the payroll, and, you know, my guys all got regular jobs. They just come in and help out on the weekend, and I do all the work between the races at home and stuff and everything, so... So, you know, it's very rewarding and very satisfying, you know, when you can bring the whole plate to the table and, you know, I don't have to worry about being in somebody else's hands. And it's really good when things are going good, but when it goes bad, it all falls back on your shoulders, too. So it's a two-way sword, and, you know, when it gets bad, you have nowhere to go but try to figure out how to get yourself out of the rut that you got yourself in. And that's where, hopefully, now that cars run really good and has one, good for quite a while now, that you know, maybe we can keep what we got and not end up going backwards.
Well, it's going to be very exciting to watch you throughout the championship battle, and I can tell you on behalf of the people who listen to WFO, and they have told me these kind of things, so I feel confident saying it, that the effort you are putting in, both on the track and off the track, through that whole experience, that is appreciated. I love the idea. When I can fabricate anything, a bracket, and it's rough and it's not nice, but I make it and it works, I feel great about it. It's a great positive feeling. I can only imagine what it's like taking something that you've built, getting in it, driving it to victory. It's awesome. And to watch you and live vicariously through that, I think is a great experience and a great lesson for the kids out there, the younger people out there, that, hey, doing is better than watching, and that you can do something if you put your mind to it. I like to look for lessons in everything. So thank you for sharing that with us. Congratulations on your win, and thanks for tuning in, or thanks for coming on WFO. We appreciate it.
Hey, I look forward to hopefully we have another chat here in about another month or so.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's the way it works. We missed you after Gainesville, which was a bit of a bummer, but we were able to catch up here, which is great.
Yep. Anytime.
Randy, thank you for coming on WFO Radio.
All right, appreciate it. You guys have a great day.
Randy Meyer with us here on WFO Radio, top alcohol dragster winner, and just super cool what's happening in the Lucas Oil alcohol classes. All these personalities, and I know it's been going on for years, the Frank Manzo and the Bob Newberries and the Brad Andersons and the Pat Austins and just so many different personalities throughout the years, but we've got two different classes right now. From two different combinations. You got Chris Demke out west with Adam Rhodes. Those guys won in Vegas. In the funny cars, you got Annie Whiteley, and you got just so many different personalities. We heard from Doug Gordon, of course, the Swedish contingent, which brings me to an interesting point. This past weekend, Jani Lindberg and Ulf Leanders both fell to Doug Gordon one after the next. And I used the opportunity to build the rivalry, the building of the rivalries, which I really think is a big part of drag racing. I think about Warren Johnson versus the Dodge Boys. I think about John Force versus Al Hoffman. I feel like there are these rivalries that the fans like to be on one side or the other about. And it occurs to me that not everybody thinks that. Then I've gotten some feedback that some people don't like that. They just like you to say the names and talk about the drivers, and one will win and one will lose, and that is it. And I want everybody to know that my intention, I have the greatest of respect for all of these people, especially the FIA racers who travel across the Atlantic to participate with us in the NHRA Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series. Like, these guys are beloved and respected by me. And the idea, and as you can imagine, it has come across the desk that someone did not like the idea that I was trying to build the rivalry between the U.S. guys and the FIA guys. That's what's going on. And I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, yeah, I guess, but isn't this a great, respectful rivalry? Isn't it fun? Like, aren't those FIA guys happy when they come over and win? Don't they deep down have some sort of feeling? Don't our fans in Sweden, and I know we've got a bunch, okay, listeners in Sweden, FIA fans, email me, joe@wforadio.com, or call 954-889-6796, or Skype to Skype. Internationally, it is free if you have Skype. Skype to Skype us, WFO Radio. Let me know when one of your guys comes over to the United States of America and whoops up on everybody. Isn't that an additional source of pride? Isn't that something cool? So why couldn't it be just the same when the guys from the U.S. beat the guys that are coming over to kick their butts? Why is that a negative? Why can't that just be respectful back and forth? I don't get that. I don't understand that. And it has come to my attention that some people don't feel that way, that they don't like that kind of talk. And if that is the case, if that's where we're going, then by all means, I don't want to get people upset. I certainly don't want the FIA fans to think that we're in any way negative towards their participation. We love their participation. Their participation is awesome. But you're in the middle of Texas, and a guy from the United States beats a couple of guys who race for the FIA who are coming over participating, marauding, so to speak. I think that's what I'm bringing up. How is that a negative? That's just the building of a rivalry. And if it had gone the other way, the argument would have been extremely positive in tribute, singing songs about them and their performance. So I would be interested to hear a little feedback on that. That's something that came across my desk like very rapidly recently. And It's, you know, it's disappointing that some fans don't understand where you're going with that. This is about love and passion for every one of these racers that invest their time and their lives in what's going down out there at the track. And no effort or intent to disparage anyone for their participation. And the idea that that is in someone's head is shocking. It's shocking. Like, what, really? How could you take that? How could you figure that after all that has been said about the greatness of these individuals? But, you know, you just never know what people are going to think or going to hear. So I would love your opinion on that. Joe@WFOradio.com. Especially our European and Australian listeners. This one's on you guys. What do you think about that? Do we build the rivalry, or do we just talk about racers and someone wins on each given day? What do you want to happen? Very interesting to see. And a big thanks to Randy Meyer for coming on the show. Next week, going to read some emails. Got some cool emails from some WFO radio listeners out there. And I want you to hear them because it is absolutely awesome stuff. The show is going good. The way new people are finding out about the show is you. And it seems very obvious that you are telling your friends, either by taking their iPhone and by saying to them, hey, let me show you this great show, let me tell you about this great show, and loading it on their phone through iTunes or on iHeartRadio, the Race Day Nation channel, or however, Stitcher, TuneIn, the website. More people came up to me and said, hey, I listened to the show this past weekend than ever before. New record. Unofficial, because I'm not actually counting. But that is great stuff, and I greatly appreciate it. Just so many cool things going down. Sam Porciau's nephew got distracted, got hung up. Email me. We'll make it happen. Walt, we'll make it happen. Got a lot of listeners out there. I have so many cool things going on. Nick from YourVelocity.com emailing me throughout the weekend. Just very fun things, and I hope we can continue to build the WFO radio audience. A lot of fun stuff. All right, folks, that's going to do it. I greatly appreciate Erica Ender Stevens for coming on the show and giving us just a truly behind-the-scenes look at what's going down. Doug Coletta and Jimmo especially, for just pouring it out after the win. That's exactly what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. Incredible respect for the opposition with an intent to destroy on the track. Respect with an intent to destroy on the track. That, to me, is what competition is all about. And there was no whitewashing, and there was no sanding down the rough edges there. It was just straightforward honesty while basking in the glory of victory. How cool is that? Eric Lane for coming on the show. He's going to help us with a little crew chiefing 101 in the future. So I'm excited about that. Remember, Ron Capps, send your questions for Ron Capps, 954-889-6796. But Joe, I'm shy. I don't know what to say to Ron. Well, if you can't think of what your question would be for Ron Capps, then I can't help you. But I'm sure you have a question for Ron Capps. 954-889-6796. Beep. Yeah, guys, my name is Lenny. I'm calling from Duluth, and my question for Ron is, when you're racing a funny car and you win, is it cool? Thanks, WFO. Beep. That's it. We're going to play it for Ron. And, of course, he's going to answer yes to those questions. That's an example of a kind of a bad question. I'm sure you have some questions for Ron Capps. 954-889-6796. You got a whole week to think about it. Now, our ignition show, Wednesday, going to get into NASCAR and Kurt Busch's victory. We're going to talk a little F1 and IndyCar. We're going to be meerkatting or periscoping from the studio at some point. So download those. A great new social media. And the PR teams are using it now. I don't want to say finally, because it's only been a couple of weeks. I happen to be an early adopter. But really cool stuff. Watching Robert Height suit up in the staging lanes. Watching that while what I'm doing is happening. Watching Courtney Force's team go down to pick her up after her run in real time. It's happening in real time. The Colettas doing a warm-up in the pits. News from the pits while I'm doing what I'm doing was actually very helpful and informative to what was going on. Imagine in the future when they dial in the technology even better, so you can get it anywhere, and the compression and everything, all of that stuff, Silicon Valley. It's going to be great stuff. All right, that's going to do it. I greatly appreciate Randy Meyer and Doug Gordon for coming on the show. Late entries to the program. We got them in. Big thanks to Jim O and Doug Coletta and Eric Lane. We got them in. And Erica Ender Stevens, headliner on the program. Going big time in depth. The 11-minute engine change. Those guys deserve a big pat on the back. And, of course, Alan Reinhart for starting us off right. That's going to do it. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.
That was terrible!
Horrendous!
I'm offended!
I'm appalled!
So what are we going to do?
What else?
Email it to everybody we know! Good idea.